Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maven. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday in your neighborhood. I hope we don't get sued for that. Because my man in the building. Yes, 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 people. I get it. You want Steve. You got Steve. Steve Rummage in the building. Brian Hall in the booth. Fellas, what's going on?
It's good. Good 24 hours. I feel like we've got a lot accomplished in the last 24 hours. So, you know, I'm ready to go. Ready to get it going.
Now, listen, I know we have these setups of the shows, but we just end up breaking protocol as soon as the show starts.
Before
we completely break protocol, Brian Hall, how's it going?
It's going really well. You know, it's a big week, actually, because I know we got at least two College World Series games left. We got the NBA draft. I'm excited
Don't
about that.
Don't set the bar so low.
I'm talking about just before the end of the week, baby.
Like, let us be great, Brian. Since when did you get so the ceiling is the roof kind of guy?
Well, I'm just saying, you got a game tonight, and we get the win. We play Friday. We got the NBA draft on Thursday. I mean, pretty much Wednesday night's the only free night I got this week. So,
which is a horrible thing. That's a nightmare to have a free night to not connect with the listeners of Midday with Marcus Maven and the 93.9 audience, the entire ESPN Louisville, you know, gamut. A night off?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. It's good to see Brian again. Feel like we've been out.
Yeah, you guys have.
It does so feel long. Like that, especially when you do an on-location show on a Monday. It just feels like, you know what I didn't miss? You know what I didn't miss? And this is no shade. And Brian, I'm going to need you to accept responsibility.
Okay.
When we're not here, Brian, it is up to you to keep some personal rules and regulations followed in the studio.
Okay.
Brian, I'm going to say this in the most comfortable way, and 93.9ers, please don't take this as shade. There's a new evening host of a show, and I'm purposely not saying his name just yet, that, you know, we all have our character flaws, and, you know, like me, I keep a lot of camera equipment in here, the lighting. And I know everybody doesn't enjoy it. But at what point do we say, Mark Enos, if you leave one more Hall's cough drop wrapper in the middle of the table, I am going to hop on a Bob Valvano train to Omaha, and I am going to personally Liam Neeson you. Right? Come on, Mark. Congratulations on the evening show. I know you stepped up on your role, but, dude, you can't just throw the Hall's cough drop wrappers all over the studio.
So you're saying that when you all leave, I must protect this house.
You must protect this house. We don't know who does that slogan because we just fool with Adidas. So I don't know where that comes from, but you get the point, Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark. You know, this is Brian talking. Hey, Mark. You know, some other people work in the studio too, and they just... And I know it's not that big of a deal,
You could say, hey, I appreciate you supporting the family of the Halls, but can you throw them away?
Right. And listen, feel free to talk about, you know, my camera equipment or whatever else I leave. But don't accuse me of leaving things that I don't leave. But the things I do leave, listen, have at me, right?
The things you do leave get stolen. So
Where is my speaker box? Do you know the fans of the Facebook Live and the YouTube? They need to hear the callers, people. I need the speaker in the studio. Steve, is this going to turn into a ranting day about what we don't have? No, we're not. I'm not going to let this show devolve into something like that. You know what we did have? We had an on-location show at?
Persimmon Ridge
Golf Course. The Rustdiculous Golf Scramble. Steve, I'm going to say this also in the least shade or most humble way possible. There was a lot of partners that were itching to become a part of the show.
Yes, I think
I had no idea people wanted to run sponsorships to the level they did on this show.
No, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. I mean, I was, you know, we had a few people walk up and say, hey, we would like to be partners with the show. And I was kind of like, well, yeah, I know.
People came here and heard we were supposed to be out there. And we need to have this meeting. I mean,
your boys made a little money yesterday. That's what we do.
No shade to the Rustdiculous Golf Scramble.
The only way I'm getting money.
No shade to the Rustdiculous Golf Scramble or anything like that. but we had no idea that people came. Just have a sit down.
Nah, it was good though. We had a good time, man.
We had a good time. Russ Smith Sr.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Yeah, yeah. A lot of good stuff come out of that.
How young is he? And I'm not talking about age, just spirit.
Yeah. No, he's got that thing that Russ has. I mean, if you've never been around him, he kind of exudes that just happiness. Kind of, you're kind of like upbeat.
Yes.
Like, yeah, man, like I can talk to this guy for a while.
It comes straight from the top down with that Russ level of energy.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we got to talk with Tim Barnett. And I mean, it's kind of running the thing here and get everything done. And hopefully later this week, we'll be talking to a few more guys.
Just go ahead and say it. Terry Rozier, we put the word out.
Terry, we've got people coming your way. So hopefully we can get him in here in the studio at some point this week. Yeah. So that's the goal.
My confidence level is very, very high.
Yeah, mine too.
We have established some very good partnerships. And people, it's always open. You contact me, you contact Steve. They're open.
Yeah.
They're open, but I wouldn't say they'll be open forever.
Would it be fair if we get Terry in here for me to ask him, say, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of hope that the Bulls pull the trigger on the Jimmy Butler thing and the Celtics send you to Chicago.
Yes.
I mean,
yes. How much would you love to have Terry Rozier as a Chicago Bull?
A lot. I would love it a lot. Terry Rozier and Dwayne Wade? Are you kidding me?
And
give me that.
Dwayne Wade. Stop it, Steve.
No, that's kind of his guy, man. Look, that you can have a true passing of the torch. Terry Rozier, Dwayne Wade, it's perfect. Rondo, come on, man, that's my squad.
Dwayne Wade is burnt out. It has nothing to do with the torch.
I'll tell you who's overrated. It's Jimmy Butler.
See, Brian, you see what he does? We have a show to do. We have a serious show to do today. And then Steve starts. And you see what just happened, people? Steve Rummage, as this is a true professional fan base. That's the difference between a Louisville person and a professional sports guy. A rumor comes out that Jimmy Butler's on the block, and Steve Rummage has already devalued him, underrated him. Not even 2 months ago, 60 days ago, Steve Rummage was taking Jimmy Butler against the entire Boston Celtics by himself. Fast forward 60 days. He's probably the most overrated player in the NBA. I hope Chicago Bulls do trade him.
Well, I mean, here's my thing. It was clear that the Bulls were going to take the Celtics out in the first round. And then Rondo goes out. And all of a sudden, the Bulls can't win a game.
You thought the Spurs were going to beat the Warriors.
No, they were up 2-0. The Bulls were up 2-0. Rondo was the game changer.
Boy, that gave Rondo some.
Yeah.
That bought him three, four more years.
Yeah, he may not be able to beat Lamar Jackson in a race, but he can run a team.
That was a great video, by the way, dude.
Yeah, so
that was so old school and primal. That was socks off in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Let's race right now.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. You think you can beat me? Like, dude, I'll smoke you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
That was a good race, too.
And
nobody cheated. That was a fair shoot. Yeah, the fair one's foot
right down the street, man. Stay in your lane. I stay in my lane.
Right, right.
Straight down the road. No, but I mean that's kind of not. I'm not getting too far off topic. But I mean that's what I love about the Cardinal Week and stuff. Those type to see even talking off air with Russ Smith Sr. to see the passion in his voice talking about just a game of basketball. And I mean it really gives you a perspective, I mean, on how much it's the same way how, like me and my wife were running the other day at the track, and we were doing just this, sprinting the straights, and I told her, she was like, geez, that's long, and just she was joking.
What you call it, sprinting the straights?
Yeah, well, I go with her. I mean, after I get mine done, you know. So, but I mean, she was laughing because she said the passion that was coming out of me when I was talking. I was like, man, now imagine getting hit 2 or 3 times and having to run full speed 60 yards and run away from the best athletes in the world.
Was it passion or psychosis she was making reference to?
Probably a little bit of both.
I was going to say, when a woman tells you you're so passionate, that's her code word of saying you're scaring me.
Yeah, that's pretty true. But that's what you got out of Russ Smith and you got out of Tim Barnett and those guys, man. It's awesome to sit around and have conversations.
Another important bit of information coming out of the Russ Ridiculous Golf Scramble and Cardinal Week. Brian, We may have a 93.9 Midday with Marcus Maben sponsored participant in the All-Star game this weekend.
That's exciting.
What do you think about that? We tried to wedge our man Steve Rummage into a roster. Boy, Brian, did he start moonwalking.
Brian,
when we were headed into the
high-stepping.
When we were headed into the building, it was, man, I'm going to make sure they put me on the team, man. I got game. I can work these guys. Man, they threw that. We got a spot for you. I don't know.
I kind of got dinner plans.
Let me just think on that. I can hold my own.
Steve, there's no question. I challenge your dunking more than I challenge you being able to hold your own out there. But I have to ask a question. What's you know what? 8150, 93.9. Is it a good idea to have a representative of Midday with Marcus Maben participate in this weekend All-Star game? It was for officer his name.
Nick Rodman.
Rodman. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Is it a good idea to have Steve Rummage participate? First of all.
And whether we do or not, we're going to be out there and get out there and support
and
that.
And what is the expectations of Steve Rummage out of this game? Steve, let me get your expectations first. If you were to participate. Because the word is they want to kind of keep the officers together and the other players.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. I mean, we're hypothetically here. If they did something like that where they're keeping the officers on one team and the All-Stars on the other, okay, have fun. I'll enjoy being there watching and stuff. Like, if they split the rosters up, I'm just saying, I'll throw my name in the hat.
Oh, so if they split the rosters up,
you
don't want to play on the All-Star team?
No. I'd rather play against them than with them.
Oh, listen to you, Steve.
No, I've...
Okay, what's acceptable? If they split it up, what's an acceptable performance of Steve Rummage in the All-Star game? In the Rockin' Jock All-Star game, even though it's a benefit, what do you expect from yourself?
8-5. Give me 8-5.
8-5?
Yeah.
So you...
That would be the low mark.
You're making it like you're the cornerstone of the triangle offense here.
I mean, 8-5 in an All-Star game? I mean, look... You should six or seven looks. You should knock down four of them.
You should. Steve is going 4 for 6 and 5 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I can get 5 rebounds. Because here's the thing. The All-Stars.
Are you
going to
be snowbirding? Are you going to work hard? Because listen, you can't work too hard because you'll embarrass us.
No. I'll tell you this. There's not an All-Star, quote unquote, out there that's going to be going as hard as Steve Rummage.
Oh, no. No, Steve. You know what? Pull his name out the hat right now. If you're going to be out there, there's nothing worse than the NBA All-Star guy who you can tell is out there trying to win the MVP.
No, it would.
You remember that year Kobe Bryant was just out there shooting everything and getting the rebounds?
Move.
It was like, Kobe, sit down somewhere. Let it happen naturally. If you're hot, you should win the All-Star game, but don't work to
my points. My points would come naturally. But I would make sure in the limited time I'm getting these 5 boards. Like I'm gonna.
So you're a stat counter.
Like No, I'm getting these 5 boards.
Steve,
period.
That is not acceptable to be a stat counter in an All-Star game.
Yeah, especially something like that. Just saying.
No, I get it.
Perrin Johnson, Terrence Farley, I'm coming after you.
No, I get it. You have to make a showing of yourself.
Eight and five would be it. But regardless, I'm going to be out there enjoying it.
When you get switched out on Terry Rozier, do you roll up in him to see what you got?
Yes, I would. I'd break down, pull the shorts up a little bit, and be like,
"People,
I may never get this chance again."
Funny.
So Terry,
I was wondering if you were going to be that guy.
Put me on the floor if you have to, but I'm going to try to check you right here. Like, I would just make a note. Like, look, when you see the shorts kind of come up a little bit,
God,
say, look, I'm for real trying.
He's totally serious
I'm going to give this a shot.
I'm going to stay in front of you. Put it this way. You stay in front of him. He pulls his best double crossover.
Better hit it.
Listen, let's say you tap the ball away and he has to run back and recover the ball.
That's it. I back off.
I was going to ask, do you lock in even harder?
Nah, I back off.
You back off and say you can't get around me.
Hey, you may now, but now it's because I'm going half speed.
Do you still want him with the Chicago Bulls after you stop him on that possession?
No, he can't never play on my teams again. No, you can't be a part of my life if I check you at all.
Let's make sure we ask him that. Brian Hall, that's a fair question when we get in here. that Steve is ready to trade Terry Rozier if he can stop him?
If you can stop him?
Well, just somewhat. I mean, because look, I'm not here.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain
him. Yeah, I mean, look, Steve Rummage is just one man. And I'm not saying, hey, I can guard Terry Rozier, because by no means can I, whatsoever. But just saying,
allegedly,
if I can, you know, if you
maybe he's overrated.
Don't make your best move and me go, oh, I don't know, I'm still kind of there.
Right.
Like, we're in the vicinity.
Right.
You know?
No, and what always happens, it works to your advantage.
Yeah.
You're a lot slower than Terry Rozier. Fair?
I think that's fair.
Now,
let's put Steve Poston up against him.
No, the problem is.
I like that. See, now let's do both ways.
Don't get me started on that one. But the problem is, if Terry Rozier crosses you over, it's going to be so quick that before you have time to react to the first move, you're still standing in place, right? So
I'll
that
play,
always works for a super slow defender.
I'll play Olay defense before I fall down. I'll tell you that. I fall down, I'll jump up and just run off the court. I won't even stop. It'll be full. Like, or I'll block him from behind.
You can't. Do you know how much stronger than you Terry Rozier is? I want to know how confident you are in the post. You can't dribble the ball around him.
He would push me around.
What? Yes, he would.
No.
Yes, he absolutely would.
I mean, he would. Like, I mean,
do you know how big Marcus Smart is? Do you know they post against each other every day on a consistent basis?
Yeah.
Steve, you'll fall.
No.
You'll fall. I need some help. I need some help right now to get the Steve thing under control. Thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maben. What's on your mind? Teddy.
Hey, how are you, Marcus?
Wonderful, as always. What's going on?
Man, Marcus, you of all people understand this. Do you remember what the wingspan is of Terry Rozier? I think you probably might know that, and if you don't, you know everything else, so it doesn't matter.
Listen, I was gonna say I would act like I know everything else. I was just gonna throw out a number, but if you got one for me, I'll take your word.
I believe at the combine he was figured out at 6'8" wingspan. You know, and for a guy that measures 6'1" height, you know. He was such an amazing defender. Look at his steal average.
That's my point. Yeah. Like we can have fun with this conversation, but the moment Steve tries to back in, Jerry's going to pull the chair, steal the ball, and go down there.
He won't pull a chair. And that's weak. He ain't going to do that. He's more of a man than that. Sorry, Teddy. Teddy, go ahead.
Teddy, we're listening.
I just tell you. Terry's defense was so tremendous to give out. I mean, you know, look what he's doing and for the Celtics, and they're just going to get stronger, and I think they're going to be in the finals in the next couple of years.
Teddy, let me ask you this, Teddy. Should my man Rummage participate in this All-Star game at full throttle?
He better do a lot of yoga between now and then and get ready, because though, you know, the thing that you always see in the warm-ups, I try to go up to the Pacers game at least once a year, watching the guys in the pre-routine warm-ups. The one that most impressed me several years ago at his prime was Ginobili. Before the game, there's all the people trying to get his autographs. And, you know, I'm kind of like, God, who is this skinny guy? You know, who is this guy? Well, then you watch him in his warm-ups, and he's stretching, and he looks like he should be a yoga instructor out at, like, South Beach down in Miami or something. I mean, he's reaching over. And so that's one of the major things. So, Steve, I'd say go work on your flexibility. But in terms of heart, Steve, you got it all the way.
Thanks, Teddy. See, thank you, Teddy.
Teddy, I appreciate
that's
the call.
That's a great call. Gave me some advice. Gave me some confidence.
You're right, and I apologize because the heart is the most underrated factor, especially in an All-Star game.
Why are you throwing shade? I'm just saying. I can bang in the post a little bit.
Yesterday, you told me on air that I voluntarily held myself out of two postseason second rounds. Steve, I said
4 years.
I poured myself.
A four-year ban.
On second round.
Yeah, on second
Steve,
round.
I'm,
yeah.
So in my evening, I'm writing about I'm reading, researching for the show.
Yeah.
And you know, imagine me with a glass of wine thinking about that comment that you just said.
Yeah.
And how should I respond to that? I responded by coming here and hating on your participation in the All-Star.
That's
game.
Fair. No, that's fair. You're feeling me because I'm gonna look at you. You're gonna when you see me make that move and that ball goes off the glass and you realize that's going in. You're gonna be the guy that's gonna be like, wow, I'm about to just totally eat this in public. Because I'm gonna point at you, scream at you, yell at you.
Go Reggie Miller on
it. Yeah. You're gonna be my Spike Lee. So
midday with Marcus Maven, 81.50, 93.9. Feel free to jump in. Let me tell you, people, the Louisville baseball is on 93.9 the Ville.
Going out for that tonight. I'm excited about
it. I think this is the wrong one. Oh, you know, you're right. I almost read it wrong. People, be glad that I checked this on air, because if it would have been wrong, you would have had jokes for days. Louisville baseball is one step to closer to the national championship after their 8-4 win over Texas A&M. I didn't need to tell everybody that. Everybody knows that. Up next, the Cards take on Florida with coverage beginning at around 6:50. First pitch at 7 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Cards Baseball ESPN Louisville is presented by Powder Keg Fireworks, Exit Zero in Jeffersonville, and Window World. Simply the best for less. Steve?
Yeah.
Are you a powder keg fireworks kind of guy?
I love fireworks, yeah.
You're American.
I spend stupid amounts of
money. Oh, you do? You actually dig into the budget.
No, I shouldn't. Right. It's not really a budget for it, but I can't stop. It's like a sickness when I get in there. I start buying everything.
It is funny because the other day, like this is just a flame of mine. The other day, I'm in just some random store, and I bought like 5 boxes of those poppers. The little white poppers that you throw in the concrete. I could not resist. It was just stacks and stacks and stacks of poppers.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what do y'all expect me to do? Yeah. You expect me to go past this popper? I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, I just couldn't help myself, Steve.
It's fun.
Are you a popper guy too?
I like all the stuff.
So if Elijah came home with 10 boxes of poppers.
I use them. Yeah.
He'd come home from school.
Shouldn't have these.
Yeah, they mess up the concrete outside. Give them here.
Yeah.
Turn them all in.
Pretty much.
No, baseball game definitely coming up, Florida. What are the odds? Well, Louisville's favored, so that's one odd. How confident are you?
Yeah, I mean, Florida was the top 3 seed, but I mean, I don't know. I like it. I mean,
they got hold of Florida State.
I will say this.
You scared to meet Florida State again?
No, they're out. They're done.
Oh, I thought they.
No, they're done.
Man, I checked out of that game a little too.
Yep. I'm done. So.
Are you happy they're gone?
Florida State won yesterday.
Did they?
Yeah. They won 6-4 against Cal State Fullerton.
That's the other side of the bracket. I don't care.
Beat them in the championship. Right.
Okay. No, here's the deal. The one aspect of it is the more you talk to people, I think there's legitimately a lot of people like going out tonight to watch this game.
81.50, 93.9. Call in. Where should we watch this baseball game tonight? And where are you watching? How are you going to take in the baseball experience? I want to hear about people's anxieties. Like, how much are you in? You're more into this game than before the Kentucky game. Like, I'm curious to know people who weren't, who weren't all in before that Kentucky game and are all in now. Like, what's the percentage of people, that's involvement? But Steve, I guess you could tell this was an uncomfortable opening. Panic is among us, and we're going to have to address it right now. Midday with Marcus Maven. Not right now, 3 minutes from now. Midday with Marcus Maven, 81.50, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
My friend. Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maven, 81.50, 93.9 is the number, 93.9 is the station. We're rolling along. It's a beautiful Tuesday. It feels like a baseball Tuesday. Steve, we're at the point of baseball where we have anxiety, and there's almost a threshold where you can't talk about it because you're ready for the game. We feel like we know everything about our team or everything we're going to learn. What do you think, Brian? How do we pose this question? How much more excited is the fan base about baseball post-Kentucky game? give me your answer on that first.
Scale 1 to 10?
Yes. Okay, like give us how you felt before and how you felt after the Kentucky game. If yours changed, and Rummage, I need you for that one too.
Well, I think, you know, I personally have been around the baseball team most of the season just because of us having the coverage right here on 93.9 The Ville.
Oh.
Being the flagship station. But I think the common fan, more or less, you know, kind of didn't really watch baseball until the game against Kentucky. I mean, or the series against Kentucky.
So up until that point, common fan was 3 before.
Yeah, I think a common fan was still kind of in, you know, semi in basketball mode, watching the NBA finals and stuff like that, and prioritize some of those events more than the College World Series. But now that we finally have made it, I think you're getting a lot of those. I wouldn't call them bandwagon fans, but guys that don't really normally watch baseball.
Johnny come lately.
Yeah. They don't really watch baseball until it's tournament time. And I think now, though, I personally, about tonight's game, I almost feel like I'm getting excited about it like I get excited about basketball games. And I kind of am, you know, falling into that where I see myself as a follower. And you know, I'm going to watch every game from here on out because it's something I'm actually looking forward to.
No, I agree with Brian for the most part. I think the UK game did a lot for that series, did a lot for the team, did a lot for the fan base to kind of give them a personal interest.
Personality? Do you think it exposed the personality
yes.
of the team?
Because, yeah.
You know, again, you don't root for teams you don't have a connection to.
Right.
I mean, yes, they wear – you root for the logo, but you know these guys now. You know what status Brendan McKay is. You saw the – The Drew
well,
Ellis
it was coupled with the draft back-to-back, too. And I think a lot of people followed that closely, kind of seeing where the guys were going.
Probably the first time ever there was a complete – like, the you know, when you heard about Corey Ray and guys sneaking up the draft board last year, it was still seemed like under an anomaly. Like, although if anybody knows anything, you know Louisville has been putting these guys in the draft, you know, consistently big time.
Yeah.
But last year was the, hey, people, we're in the top of the tops. Every year.
Yeah.
Number of first rounders, you know, number of draft picks on the team.
Yeah, and like you said, just I think the personality that was able to come out in a rivalry game, it juiced everybody up. And I think if they win tonight, again, I mean, even tonight, everybody I talked to is saying, hey, where are you going out to watch it tonight? Where are you going out? And we are looking because I want to go somewhere I've never been tonight.
So, Steve, I tried to massage the calm before the storm. Steve.
Right.
I tried to misdirect everybody. I tried to speak about cheerful things first and foremost on Midday with Marcus Maybe. I figured at the 10:37 mark of the show would be the perfect time to unleash full panic on Louisville and opposing fan bases. More Louisville than anybody else.
Okay.
Steve, there's a threat to my year of the Cardinal. It was coming. It was a little dirty little secret that I've always spoke about, but people never really acknowledge it until it happens. Steve, the injury bug strikes again. Steve, the one thing that I could not tolerate in my year of the Cardinal run, the factor that goes unspoke of, it's the knock on wood conversation that nobody wants to have, and I didn't want to bring it up, is the injury bug, Steve. Word on the street. Word from Kenny Klein. Word from the University of Louisville Basketball Operations Department. Steve, my man Danga Dale has tore up his thumb. And I say tore up his thumb because I'm in panic mode right now. He injured his thumb. Surgery.
Yep.
Just had surgery on his thumb. Now, Steve, first and foremost, you or anybody else in my immediate vicinity better not tell me he be all right. That's the response that I cannot tolerate. The actual opening of your skin and flesh and repair of the way the good Lord designed your body. He be all right. Repair of tissue and ligament and skin is never, he'll be all right. Psychologically, to know that your body has been, you know what I'm saying, restructured from injury is not an easy, it's the most taken for granted thing in all of sports. Recovery from surgery. Steve, your right hand is paramount to your shooting.
Well, not me. But yeah, I get your point.
Thank you. Steve, most human beings, right hand is paramount to their shooting. What makes Dane Dell, what made him irreplaceable on this team is a 6'7 guy that could shoot the three-pointer and going right could finish. That's all in jeopardy right now. Now, I could be guy right now who starts saying, well, to give the young guys a good chance to get some good, you know, part. I don't need that chance for young guy crap. This is going to directly influence the summertime development of Dane Dell. Now, I can turn into guy and say, well, good, there'll be some more chance to work on his defense. Not today. Steve, I am in a panic state. I am in a mixed anxiety of Louisville baseball with Dane Dell's surgery on his thumb. My year of the Cardinals threatened. What am I going to do?
Well, regarding the Dane Dell injury, I mean, really, I mean, I'm in the line of Marcus. He'd be all right. Come on, man. Bowen's going to get a little more playing time now in practice. He's gonna be out for a couple weeks. He can work on his defense during this time. And I mean, there's so much that I think you can do here. And look, I'm with you. All jokes aside, I am with you. I never like when somebody has to go under the knife for anything, even if it is just to kind of repair a thumb tendon or whatever.
Even if it is just to repair a thumb tendon, people. Right?
Yeah.
No, make me feel better. Like, I need you to win me over. 8150, 93.9. How panicked are you, Otis? Am I the only guy in super panic mode? Because people, we had this conversation when it came to Ray Spalding. Everybody felt like Ray Spalding was in the position to make that huge jump, you know, to the next level, right?
You recommended he had a child, if you remember that.
Rephrase that. So
I'd rather actually.
No, give that context, please.
You said,
because we've gained 100,000 listeners.
You said Ray Spalding should have a child to make him more desperate. I think was exactly Brian. Am I somewhere in the right line where that was what was suggested?
Having a child just as an example of an outside motivating factor that may change his intensity level on a daily basis. I did not recommend unprotected sex for anybody, Steve. Yeah, thank you very much. But
just reminding people.
Thanks for calling me out on that.
That's fine.
I deserve that one. But Steve, I knew that was a slip. That was a touchy subject when I threw it out. So my point with Ray Spalding was eventually we were trying to figure out postseason why he didn't have that explosive, you know, summer leap, right? That we all thought, especially me, like I have been on board with the Ray Spalding situation from day one.
Yeah.
And I feel like much more than anybody else, almost to a kamikaze level, you know, like I knew that if this kid don't perform, that watching him go against Brandon Ingram saved all my credibility.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was out on that plank by myself. So, Steve, when we started rehashing the last summer, you know what remembered? His groin injury.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And somebody who's had groin, you know, a groin injury.
No, absolutely.
You know, it's the equivalent to the big toe injury. Nobody can see it. Only the player knows it's there. Right? It's enough to hamper you, but not enough to sit you down. And no amount of time off can really repair that, you know? And we need like complete, like your summers would be wasted if you had to rehab a big toe, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Your summers are wasted when you have a groin issue. I mean, even to the point of core strength, that's what you work on. The difference between a teenager and the grown man body, right? The butt and core strength, right? That's what you really work on during your summers. You grow up, you develop that way, right? The idea of Ray Spalding not being able to be as explosive as possible because he's protecting, you know, his groin injury that they didn't know. And remember that
lateral movement sucks,
that,
too.
Right. That, yeah. And that thing ended up lasting longer than we expected it had. Like, thank goodness he was probably the one saying, hey, no, it's still not right. And there's pressure to be right.
Well, because, I mean, there's certain injuries, and this is why I'm going to try to make you feel better with the Dingadale injury. There's certain injuries, like a groin injury, that really the only way to heal it, and it's the worst kind for an athlete, is to not do anything.
Right.
And you can't. I can't do that. I can't set out and not do anything for 3 months.
Especially when you have a Jordan Nwora, a Malik Williams, an influx of talent or an opportunity. Like, even if it's not you being over-recruited at a spot, even just looking at other peers that went to college at the same time, you cannot take a summer off due to an injury. You can't take extended time off. You're not wired that way as an athlete.
But Dingadale, the thumb, I think the thumb's the best finger to injure.
Just to clean up I disagree. Just to clean up. Yeah. The thumb is what separates humans from all other species.
The thumb's the one thing I don't need to shoot the ball. I think that's
so you need to catch it.
Yes, but I'm not worried about him catching. I'm worried about him shooting.
What do you mean you don't need a thumb? You control.
No,
thumb.
No, your index and middle finger.
That's why you can't shoot.
No,
that's why
your index
that's
and
why
middle
you
finger.
Didn't finish top 10 in scoring all time at the University of Louisville because you don't use the thumb, Steve.
No.
Somebody should have taught you that early on. Like, yes, the thumb is control, Steve. That little gesture you just made with your thumb pinched in, that probably cost you 15 points a game in high school, Steve.
I'm just saying. It could be worse. I would be much more worried if it was a middle or an index finger that was having the surgery. I think that would scare me more than his thumb. I mean, I think it will be all right. Bowen's going to get more reps. He can work on his defense.
God, Steve. No, Dingadale can work on his defense. Like, I might play that game with you. Put a cast on, work on your passing and your movement without the ball. You know, work on getting easy buckets, have that thing completely, you know, strapped up. You can still work. And goodness gracious, the other worst thing you can do is have an injury where the rest of your body works just fine, right? Because that's when Rick Pitino gets a hold of you on the side. That's when Ray Ganong said, well, okay, so your thumb's out. Well, we got a structured workout plan for you, Dingadale. Just to close up the Ray Spalding point, we decided, I think we jointly decided, that the groin injury probably set him back a year.
Yeah.
Because you got 3 months of summer where you can't really do anything. You're fighting the urge to do anything explosive. And then your development, your jump hook, your loading up an explosion, you can't do any of that. You can't do lunges, you can't do anything that affects your core area. And like you said, your lateral movement, I mean, it's a wonder he should have been defensive player of the year had he been able to have a full summer.
Yeah, well, he does.
Watch
now.
Out for Ray Spalding.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was saying.
Right.
I mean, he does now. So I just don't think that this is an injury that's going to hold Dingadale back for a certain amount of time. I mean, it's
that doesn't worry you, though?
No, I mean, work on your left hand in individuals. I mean, I think there's things you can do. I mean, obviously around the basket because, I mean, if your thumb's in a cast, I mean, you can't.
So squarely in the UBI camp.
Yeah, with this
lingering thumb injuries.
I'm not all the way because let me say, I said this before and you said it and I agree with you 100%. Anytime you have a part of your body cut on and the inside of your skin is moved around in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
That doesn't make me comfortable.
I mean, how many times, again, super knocks on wood, how many times do you hear about these injuries that were supposed to be something, and then, you know, you develop a, you know, heaven forbid, what's the stuff you get from workout rooms when you got an open cut? You know, it was going around in Cleveland football locker room. Not Ebola, but...
No.
Brian, I was just coming up with something. What is the staph infection?
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you end up with staph, like coca, you know, whatever that is. And, you know, those kind of infections. And, you know, like that's what – and that's my panic level. That's my panic level is because you can never factor in injuries, but it's the it's the common denominator that you have among all great teams is the health. Brian, who is that? Who is that we're waiting on?
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. So, I mean, you don't want to see an injury over the summer, but if you're going to see one, you like to see it early and you like to see it.
Do you think that increases his desperation on the defensive end being out?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because competitive nature can state that maybe you want to just go
there's
out here
some
and lock
studs.
Down.
I don't care if you're Dingadale. There's some studs on that wing, man.
Do you think Coach Pitino and him are giving him that look like, all right, keep messing around with that little thumb issue if you want?
No.
Coaches get like that. David, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Sorry it took so long to get to the phones. What's on your mind?
Hey, back along a few decades ago, we were playing basketball in about 20-degree weather, not wearing gloves, and stick my hand out to intercept the pass and hits right on the point of the thumb and jams it. I shake it off. We play again. I jam it again. It's starting to really hurt, but I keep playing. I try to block a shot, and I jam it a third time. Well, a football player showed me how to wrap it up and disable it. The next day, I'm out there learning how to shoot left-handed.
I'm listening. No, okay. In hindsight, do you wish you had took some time off and got your thumb together? Because I'm sure that thumb is deformed to this day.
Well, no, the football player knew how to set it and wrap it. That saved me, and I can go either side now. I mean, all my life I could shoot right or left-handed after that incident.
Does that thumb hurt when it rains?
No.
So you got 100%. You got the entire, you know, medical treatment. You had a good friend then. You're the exception to the rule.
I got benefits from the injury.
Right. No, listen, that I appreciate the call, and that's totally a point that I am willing to accept. Yes, maybe you will overcompensate by developing other parts of your game. Right.
We didn't mention what I think David was calling from South Florida. I think Brian Hall said.
Did we say South Florida? That was a South Florida Dave call.
Yeah. He said he was from South Florida.
See, that's why people came to the golf scramble to partnership up with.
Yeah. Appreciate that, man. Thank you. I'm going to give you a shout out.
Wrong.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, okay. So injury bug is an issue. You know what?
And real quick, to be fair, Dave, if I jam my thumb three times in one game, I'm done for the day.
No, but Dave, but here's
done for the week.
No, but here's the point with the Dave situation. I was going to make that point about the Dingadale. Doesn't it seem like that happens? Doesn't it seem like your injury becomes a magnet for other injuries, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just the sports gods at work, but you seem to.
Well, it's natural. You overcompensate.
No, you're talking about other injuries. I'm talking about when you jam that thumb, every pass comes to that hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the opportunity is still the ball's always on that side. Like, I think that really happens. You have to defend yourself against natural or unnatural.
And let's be clear. He didn't jam his thumb. I mean, to have surgery, he bent his thumb back to his wrist.
The irony to what I'm saying, people who are looking on Facebook Live, I'll show you my pinky. This is my pinky. It's a very, very crooked deform.
Odd.
Thanks for putting it nicely, Steve. I have a very, very, very crooked pinky, and it came from an injury that I tried to shake off. And, you know, and so how about this, Steve? How about this?
Okay.
This is a very embarrassing. People, don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me on this. I have a very deformed pinky. In college, I thought I was being cute trying to a sign language class. People, I had a sign language teacher who had absolutely no mercy on me. Learn to sign with your left hand or you're going to fail. Steve, I tried to use my pinky as a get out of jail free crutch in a sign language class in college. Am I the worst person on the earth for doing that?
No.
Or is that kind of North Carolina-ish?
No, because I
should have went to Chapel Hill, baby.
No, but I would have failed Spanish if it wasn't for a great young lady that transferred from Columbia that helped me out.
Put it nicely.
God bless her.
Right. I was going to say, we're past the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Speaking of Spanish, shout out Melissa Jacobo. Goodness gracious. Spanish made Spanish life very, very easy for me. Steve, we weren't supposed to come on this show and start confessing to the slimy things we do.
No, not at all. But since we're confessing, I do have, in the next hour, there's a question I want to, and this isn't nothing we've discussed yet, but there is a question I want to ask you about the draft on Thursday night regarding Rick Pitino, regarding Donovan Mitchell.
Set it up.
That I have to almost.
Don't let me distract you over here, Steve.
No, I won't. And only if you're on Facebook Live will you see what's happening now.
Tell everybody what I'm doing, Steve. I'm not ashamed.
Marcus is holding up his flavored alcohol that he got.
I got a delivery, people, of Svedka vodkas, different types of Svedka vodkas. Not that I'm advertising or anything, but if you're in the market, I'm not advertising yet. We got to close that agreement. But people, I have very different assorted colors of Svedka vodka, and I think it's very funny. So if Facebook Live, either Facebook Live or maybe I'll go YouTube here in a second, and people can see my multi. Don't these look beautiful, though, Steve? Just be honest. If you were a drinker, wouldn't you drink something that came in a bottle like this?
Yes.
The presentation.
That would be more along the lines of where I would go.
The Donovan Mitchell.
The Donovan Mitchell. There's something that I've jumped on a little bit and somewhat took to task a certain coach in the state a few times. So I'm going to make sure. Am I asking too much? Because I have a thought for Thursday night. That
just,
I think needs
just
to happen.
One?
Well, one big one.
You already jumped off the bridge with your Jimmy Butler stance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not jumping off.
I'm gonna need an opinion on your Paul George stance.
Okay.
We're gonna have to clean up that one. I think I know where you're going with this judgment of a coach from this state.
Yeah.
And maybe our players, maybe their players. And maybe a lot more. Midday with Marcus Maven. I love this radio life. 8150 is always the number on 93.9. Be back in a second. The Ville.